Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Conservationist Conversationalist. I am Brandon Enyart, as always.
And I am Aiden Wood, as sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah, you never know. I might change it up one of these days. How have you been doing, Aiden?
I've been okay.
It's not convincing.
I'm just a little tired right now because I was dumb and I ate a little sandwich for breakfast and then I went without eating for a while I was doing some editing work. And then, I was like, okay, now it's time to eat lunch. So I sat down to eat lunch, and I, poured myself some iced coffee, and I was going to, go, in the fridge and look at what I was going to eat with that. And I forgot to do that, the second part, so I just drank 2 cups of coffee while browsing Twitter and listening to a podcast. And then all of a sudden, I realized, because, you were like, are you ready to go? Or it was suddenly 3, and I was like, oh, shit, I was supposed to record a podcast with Brandon. And then I was like, I haven't eaten. So I just ate basically an entire box of mac and cheese. So I didn't eat a lot for most of the day. And then I just ate a whole box of mac and cheese right now. And now I have to be entertaining and intelligent on a podcast. And I was like, I don't know.
I mean, you'll be fine. I'll try to pick up where, you can. I'll do as best as I can. I just got back from Walla Walla, Washington for a wedding this past weekend. Being over there, beautiful venue, by the way, winery, golf club, something like that. I don't know. Anyway, beautiful venue. But being over east of the mountains made me really appreciate living west of the mountains.
Okay.
Very different ideology over there. Weddings are, when you're part of the wedding party, it's an honor, but it's also stressful to me, at least.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure, a lot of people depending on you. And, but we did it and I wore a suit for the first time ever, in my whole life. And,
aww.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, the first time I've worn a tie, and actually as part of, they had this all set up, through, registry, but they have it all, so everybody has the same suits. And the place that it was Men's Warehouse, they had the ties were actually clip-on, so I still have yet to wear a real tie.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was the bit. Congratulations to the other side of things, Lemonade Magazine, Aaron, my business partner. Congratulations to him and his wife, Jess, on getting married. Nope, and you froze up.
Internet connection is unstable.
So oh, there you go.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me or just?
Yes, you just got back. You were frozen for a few minutes.
All right.
We've got the jungle has never been thicker, I suppose. And so let's dive right into that. I forgot to play the kookaburras last week. There's just a moment of silence. So let's play them. All right. The Mueller report. It's now been made public. I've gone over kind of what I guess you consider the Cliff Notes version of it. You did a whole stream about it, though.
I'm continuing to do streams about it.
Continuing to, okay.
I'm gonna see how far we can go before I just get sick of it. But I have started live stream because so something on Twitch that people will do is they'll read books out loud, and then after each chapter they'll stop and have a discussion with their community. Usually pick books in the public domain. And so what I started doing is basically that, but with the Mueller report. Mm-hmm. So that was actually pretty fun. I've done 2 streams of it so far. We did the first 20 pages of volume 1, and then I was like, I'm just going to skip ahead to volume 2 since that's what most people are talking about right now. Skip ahead to volume 2, which is about obstruction of justice. The first volume is about Russian meddling in the elections, right, and whether or not they can prove conspiracy. So we started talking about the second volume, which is about the obstruction of justice and witness tampering on the part of Donald Trump. That's really the hot button part of it right now.
Right.
And we read 20 pages of that on the second stream. But both streams, we just had a really engaged discussion. There were Trump supporters both times who came into the chat, who we were able to have a discussion with. I don't know if we convinced them or anything, but they appreciated being able to talk. I was really proud of my community for being able to hold their own in a discussion,
Right. No,
but we're going to be continuing to do it, hopefully more than 20 pages at a time, but we're going to keep working on it.
Well, it's, you know, it's, sorry, my computer's made a noise. You know, it's interesting because we've been dealing with it, and sorry, I'm looking up the, I have it on here on my phone, and we've been listening to all the different things for all this time, and I'm not saying that we've heard every single thing that was in the report, but we did kind of have an idea just based on, you know, stuff that was being talked about while the Mueller probe was going on. Mm-hmm. And so it's, when you go over it, it's not exactly stuff we didn't know entirely. There are, obviously there are some things that are in there, but more than anything, a lot of it is reasons as to why Mueller felt that he could not reach an obstruction of justice call or a collusion verdict. And, you know, and to an extent, it makes sense. Do you think, because sometimes the idea I get, I'm trying to look, by the way, there's this actual part I'm looking for, because I didn't want to paraphrase, but it's pretty simple. But, you know, when he said that he knew that there was an investigation going on, you know, the reaction from Trump is quite telling, right?
Where he said, "Oh my God, I am fucked.
Fucked, yeah.
This is the end of my presidency." Or let me. I actually saved that quote because I was thinking of constructing a crossword puzzle themed around the Mueller report. So I like I have this like note on my phone where I've like written out like key names and phrases like harm to ongoing matter, Robert Mueller, individual one, and I have like their enumeration, which is like how many letters are in the word,
right,
that I can think about like organizing it into a grid. And I thought about dividing that quote, which is, "Oh my God, this is terrible. This is the end of my presidency. I'm fucked."
That's right.
But unfortunately, I've not yet to figure out a way of breaking that down in a way that would fit well into a crossword grid. So,
but that's a very telling quote, right? I mean, because when you read a lot of the stuff, you question in your mind, is Trump and those who surround him, are they stupid so much to a point where Mueller looks at it and goes, I mean, yes, all these things happened and all these things were bad, but did they actually know they were bad, kind of thing you get from some part. And then you realize that when he has a reaction like, uh-oh, this is it, there has to be some knowledge there of what you did wrong. So what is your general take from the Trump organization, or the Trump White House, I suppose is a better way to put it. What is your take from, were they just, is he just not fit? I mean, we know he's not really fit to be president, but is he just stupid, or do you believe there was actually a wanting to, you know, fuck over this country?
I don't think he like was elected into the office and then was like, yes, finally I get to fuck over America. But I mean, I think that like, I don't know. It's hard. I don't know if I could see inside Trump's brain, and I don't know if I really want to.
It's a scary place, yeah.
But I mean, my understanding is that like it could be a mix of both. Like it could be his advisors have told him like if you get, because advisors had said, or he says that his advisors, well, he's quoted as saying that his advisors had told him that an independent counsel investigation can end his presidency. I don't know if he knows that he did something wrong, or if it's just the existence of an independent investigation. It's hard to say. Certainly I'd say he is not educated about legal issues. Like he does not know about political or legal legal frameworks and actions having consequences also. Mm-hmm. So I mean, like, even if he isn't like stupid, I think that he certainly isn't qualified to be in a position to address issues like this.
Yeah. No, I think that summarizes it very well. It's funny too, because I think you also have this question of, you know, the question was always, well, does somebody have something they're holding over him? You know, that obviously he doesn't want to get out, and that's why he's making the decisions he makes, or is he just selfish to the point of that he loves what the, you know, when he gets those crowds and when he gets the, you know, the kind of pomp and circumstance that it means to have won the election and be the president. the question is it a selfish thing? Is it somebody holding something over his head and why he has to make decisions? Is it a combination of all of them? I mean, he is, for as simple-minded as he seems, he's a lot more intricate, isn't he? When you really, really, when everything sort of shows itself, it's a very intricate sort of thing with the Trumps and the Trump White House.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be something that, like, hindsight's going to be 2020. I think that once the saga is over and we've moved on a little bit and we can look at what happened and what he has done, I think that then we can make more of an educated analysis. But I feel like right now in the thick of it, it's everything happening so much all the time. Like, a lot of the stuff in the Mueller report is stuff that we knew because a lot of the evidence is tweets that Trump sent, like showing a Trump tweet and saying, yeah, this is basically obstruction of justice, or like this could be considered obstruction of justice, which like we knew because like he was tweeting those things and lawyers are saying this looks like obstruction of justice. But like everything was like happening and it was like such a cluttered landscape. And then there's all these other current events that part of what the Mueller report does is list everything out in hindsight, contextualize it with media reports, with like the other things that had happened in the presidency. It makes it very clear. What was the question?
You know, no, I think actually though, that kind of does answer the question. It's very complicated. It's very intricate. And I would actually love to, I mean, I don't know if I'd love to, because honestly it's exhausting, but I've never read Nixon or Clinton's reports, right? Or reports regarding their problems.
Yeah.
And I would love to, because this one seems so, I almost like can picture Mueller and him being like, oh dear God, where do I start? Like, you know, that's when you mentioned the tweets. I mean, that's something we've never had to deal with before in any other presidency. You know, you mentioned, I mean, it's insane to me, like almost where you look at this whole thing and you go, this is so complex, you know, yeah. I mean, it's really, really crazy. And I don't know if, you know, the whole Clinton, saga and the Nixon Watergate scandal, I just don't know if they could be quite as crazy as this is when you really, you know, think about where Mueller had to start and inevitably where he finished. It's crazy. The whole thing is bonkers to me.
Yeah.
Now kind of segueing into it though, so there was the town hall with Warren and Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar and Kirsten Gillibrand. And
I like how you didn't actually make a segue. You just said segueing into that.
That's well, like but it kind of is though, because now we're talking about impeachment hearings, right?
And oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, because it basically was like, okay, we talked about the Mueller report. Oh, let's segue. And so I was like, that's not a segue.
I was getting there.
Okay.
So Kamala Harris also, she was there. And so the question came up, you know, is there enough here to have impeachment hearings? And you had a lot of interesting, not all of them, by the way, that I necessarily agree or disagree with. I kind of understand every side, actually, when you look at it. But you did have a difference of opinion. Amazingly, Kamala Harris, who we didn't think was on board for these sorts of things, now she kind of came out in this united front with Elizabeth Warren and Mayor Pete, and I can't say for sure about. I think Klobuchar and Gillibrand are more on the fence about it, but they came out with this united front saying, "Yeah, we believe there needs to be impeachment hearings." Whereas when they asked Bernie Sanders, he said that although he does feel that there are obviously things to be investigated, he does fear that if we do move forward with impeachment hearings, obviously we're only a year away from the election, and it might take away from actual policy conversations that we need to have. And I think there is obviously some you know, there's a point to that.
To me, from my understanding, you know, Congress has a constitutional responsibility to serve as a check, right, and balance on the executive branch. To not act as a check on the executive branch is to shirk your constitutional duties.
Do you feel that there's there's reason to move forward with impeachment hearings when you look at what, I mean, do you think that it is worth it inevitably to move forward right now with impeachment hearings for Donald Trump?
I do.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's this kind of, because you are right. You do have that side of things too, where it's just, it is kind of Congress's responsibility, right? Mm-hmm. I think the funny thing that I go through in my head is that I want impeachment because I absolutely can't take his followers. I can't take him. And I want there to be impeachment because I want to be able to say that. I'll admit it's completely a personal thing where I want to be able to say, yeah, your mega God shit, you know, he was impeached because he's a, you know, because of, you know, because he was a complete and utter disaster. I don't want it to distract, obviously, away from 2020. I don't want it to be used against the Democrats in a sense where, you know, where the Republicans say, well, look, they're all focused on this and the Mueller report didn't find enough. Because even though we know that there are obviously technicalities there, they will use that and they will take advantage of the more simpler, I'll get in trouble for saying that, but simple-minded folks who will see that though, you know, and they will say, well, yeah, look at the Mueller report already exonerated him, even though it didn't.
It specifically said it does not exonerate the president. It also, he makes it, Mueller and his team make it very clear. There's a whole section. I know that because I read this like 2 days ago.
Oh, we do. Yeah, we know that. But you know that even Trump right now is saying he's exonerated, and that's how they will play it to that voter base.
He's saying the Mueller report exonerated him, but also the Mueller report is a witch hunt and it's unfair. Because that makes sense.
Because that's Trump. Logic. Yeah, that's been Trump. It's crazy, the whole it's really a bizarre just political time that we're living in. It's like I feel like I have so much to say and don't know how to say it.
Yeah.
You know, but part of that same town hall, they discussed other things such as allowing people who are serving time in prison, whether they're allowed to vote or not. What is your feel? Cause my feeling on that is I have some thoughts on that one, but, what is your feeling on that?
I think that it's ridiculous. Okay. They put they phrased the question as like, should the Boston Marathon bomber be allowed to vote? Yeah. And I was like, how's that sensationalist fucking bullshit? First of all, second of all, what are you afraid of? Are you worried that all the bombers in prison are going to be like, okay, now we're going to vote and we're going to legalize bombing? Like, what are you worried about?
Exactly.
Are you worried that a serial killer in prison is going to vote? Like, yes, let's make serial killing legal. like the thing about like letting prisoners vote is that like the, any prisoners that you're worried about, like should prisoners on death row be able to vote? Like it's a vote that they like if you're worried about like what are you worried about?
Well, right, because we trust the vote with normal everyday people who are not who are not incarcerated, and look what we got, right? So I think that's you hit the nail on the head.
But depriving prisoners of their right to vote means that even prisoners who are like in jail for minor offense, like prisoners should be able to vote on issues that affect their own well-being about laws related to the keeping of prisons and the maintenance of prisons,
right?
And like there's like so many things.
Well, especially because sorry to interrupt you, but especially because we have the issue now where so many prisons are for profit as well.
Yeah.
And so you're absolutely right. And you hit the nail on the head with the fact that, I mean, here we make it out like it's a privilege they don't deserve. It is a privilege that we offer 100% of the United States over 18 who are not incarcerated. We offer that to the country, and 60% of them sometimes do not accept that privilege. So here it is, this privilege we have offered Americans, and they don't accept it. And then we're going to take it away from, but we're scared of giving it to somebody, you know, somebody who's incarcerated. The logic behind that is incredible to me. Now, I don't know all the opinions on it. I know Bernie, of course, is for it. It was interesting because Chris Cuomo right away said, you do realize that now they're going to have these attack ads against you, saying that you believe the Boston bomber should be allowed to vote.
Well, who gives a fuck about the Boston bomber? That's like, who gives a fuck?
And Bernie's like, I've had plenty of attack ads against me. I'm not worried. And Mayor Pete said he's against incarcerated individuals being allowed to vote.
It's not just issues related to prisons. It's also about issues like sex work. Like most women who are in prison for sex work or defending themselves against domestic abuse. If there are laws related or like marijuana related laws, like if we allowed prisoners to be like, I think that this should be legal, like prisoners who are incarcerated for marijuana offensive, like that could, there's like. And, do people think that like and prisoners should like a lot of prisoners are parents who like made a mistake but they still care about their kids' well-being like they should be able to vote on like issues that are impacting their kids
and by the way, thank you for bringing all that up, because it's something I wouldn't have necessarily said, because I it wasn't crossing my mind, and that makes so much sense. That's an important part of this discussion. Is that, like you just mentioned, parents who made a mistake, who care about the well-being of their children, they are voting on issues that will affect people who mean something to them. That's thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, 100%.
And a lot of judges are elected positions. You know, like people vote on judges, like their local judges. Like
Yeah, so we do here.
So if there's a judge who is corrupt, there's the recent cases of like judges selling kids to prisons, like convicting kids for extremely minor offenses that are like basically not even illegal, sending kids to prison to take money from for-profit prison companies. Yeah. And if prisoners could vote, I don't think that would be as much of an issue, because they could vote for judges that like are going to give fair trials.
Right. Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah. Keep preaching. Well, I think that town hall did sort of shape things up a little bit. We kind of know, I think, a little bit more of where we're headed. I know that there has still again been talking. We don't need to touch on this that much, but you know that Biden has cut ties with his foundation, so now they imagine he's going to announce. I don't give two shits whether he does or doesn't. But we do kind of see, you know, that I would say that the front runners, I mean, Bernie came out, with pretty decent marks from it. I think you have to look at the fact too, that maybe Warren had a better showing than Kamala Harris did, and that maybe the two top front runners maybe are Warren and Sanders after that town hall. I know a lot of people loved what, Buttigieg had to say. But then there are a lot of people who did not like what Buttigieg had to say. So I think he's maybe losing ground here. Yeah. I could be wrong, but
I watched the town hall during a live stream, like a political live stream. Mm-hmm. And like people were commenting, and people kept saying, "Oh, he's such a good speaker." Like Buttigieg. And everyone was like, "Wow, he's such a good public speaker." And I was like, "Is he though?" Like I got fucking more fired up from Kamala Harris, because like she had energy and.
She has
policies, which is what gets me fired up. Like, Buttigieg was just like skirting around policy issues largely.
Yeah, you know, we talked about it last week. You know, besides his obvious representation of a community that sometimes gets over or a lot of the time gets overlooked. You brought up his experience. And I think that was, in my opinion, that was actually on display in the town hall, which is that although he is a good speaker, like we talked about Obama, right? How Obama was a great, great speaker, but maybe failed a little bit when it came to policy once he became a president. I think that's what we saw with Buttigieg, is that although he may come across as this guy who I think knows how to talk and what to say to make people go, oh, well, yeah, look, listen to him talk. He's smart. I got to be honest with you. I'm so sick and tired of hearing how many fucking languages he speaks to. I think that's what we saw last night, is that he is just a smooth talker. He is just a smooth talker. And
I know so many people already who are like totally in his fan club, and it's just kind of infuriating, because it's like okay, that's all I have to say.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, Kamala had a good performance. I still have problems obviously with her prosecution background, but she, like you mentioned, she's got energy and she does have policy, which is something that candidates have one of but not the other. And I think the most I've heard talked about was Sanders and Warren. So that's got to be good news for both of them when their names are the ones being talked about today.
Yeah, I actually didn't see either of those. I only saw Warren and Buttigieg.
Okay. And when you look at Klobuchar and Gillibrand, I felt like they were basically made out to be kind of wiffle wafflers from what I could tell from most people's opinions. Because I was kind of going in some comment sections today and whatever, and just getting an idea of what people thought. And they seemed to think that there just wasn't really a lot of substance there. So, but a lot of talk about Harris and Warren and Sanders. So, yesterday was Earth Day. How was your Earth Day, Aiden?
It was pretty chill. I don't even. Oh, yes. I went to work. I took public transit home from work, and I ate vegan. So I did the same thing I did every day, but it's eco-friendly, so it counts.
I'm trying to think of what I did. I posted on my Instagram. I should have posted probably on our Instagram.
Probably.
But you know, it was a long weekend, like I said. It was a very, very wet and rainy day here in Washington. So. Pretty normal for springtime here. But you see a lot of people who come out during this time, you know, during the one day, and they post their pictures of them hiking and stuff like that. And but there is this, I was actually talking with a few of my friends here with Whatcom Democrats, and we were talking about it last night, how there is this sort of reluctance. People are creatures of habit, you know, and there's this reluctance to want to make subtle changes because it just they kind of, you know, make, oh, I can't do that. It's too much, you know, whether it be introducing some plant-based foods into your diet or stuff like that. I think that's the part I take away from it a little bit. I love all the pictures and all the support on Instagram, but I do also love that, you know, those people sometimes think that just driving a Prius is the answer to actually saving the earth, whereas there are actually even more subtle, less expensive ways to make the earth better. It's kind of an oxymoron, right? That's why I kept thinking happy Earth Day when we know the earth right now is pretty sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to be a downer, but, but I do hope that maybe on the other hand, on the not so cynical point of view, hopefully that if people do continue to see social media support, stuff like that, hopefully maybe, you know, I mean, gosh, you got kids like Greta over in Europe who has been doing a bunch of things for the earth. And hopefully it's just more of this youth who pushes forward with making this earth a better place. So, yeah. So what else is new? What else do we have to talk about today?
We talked about topics at the beginning.
Yeah, we've got – so, well, I was going to say some other topics. We do have – so this is kind of an interesting one. If you want to talk about this one, something that I've been noticing on Twitter. So there is a hashtag right now that is it's kind of going on around the world, and I just wanted to get your take on it mainly.
Okay, I don't know if I've seen it, but I'll –
It's pretty simple. So, because I'll explain the reaction to it. So,
okay.
So the hashtag is just regarding, you know, something we've been fighting for a long time with the Me Too hashtag and those sorts of hashtags. It's the Men Are Trash hashtag, and it's regarding the fact that women are, you know, constantly dealing with fear of sexual assault, sexual harassment, et cetera. And there's been a blowback to that hashtag because a lot of guys are doing the typical thing, which is not all men and you can't group us all together, blah, blah, blah. And, when I see that as a guy, I was taught growing up that if there's a general opinion about a group of people, but yet you know that it doesn't pertain to you, then don't be offended by it. Because if you're offended by it, that means that obviously somewhere deep down you think that it might pertain to you. But there is another side to it, right? Which is it actually effective to use that sort of, is it really getting anything accomplished? So from the, from your point of view, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, like from what I've heard, like using language about like all men being like this or like men do this. Someone mentioned once that like, if you like, clarify, like, some men do this, then, like, basically every guy, regardless of whether or not they're going to do that, actually do, like, whatever harmful thing, is going to be like, well, I'm not one of them. They said some, so, like, clearly they're talking about somebody else. When you just generalize it to, like, men in general, people can be more self-reflective. Like, do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a man, do I do this thing? Which I think can work and not work. I think that the kind of men who, like, see that stuff and, like, do get self-reflective about it, are, like, generally the kind of guys who, like, don't do it, aren't, like, the main problem. I feel like the kind of guys who, like, see, like, oh, men do, like, whatever harmful thing and get, like, angry about it and, like, refuse to self-reflect at all are, like, a bigger issue. But I think that encouraging people to self-reflect on how their actions might impact others is always an okay thing. I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know if I could, like, say, like, if it's effective or not. I feel like you would need to see, like, a lot. Like, I don't even know how you construct a study to test that, but, like.
Oh, no. I think it comes down to what opinion, right? And like I said, I'll still go by personally as a guy. It doesn't offend me because I go, yeah, for the most part, a lot of men are trash. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've used that terminology before talking to friends saying men are trash.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I also know that a lot of men, because they are a very egotistical species, and that's partially the problem with the reaction that people are having to this hashtag, is that the problem, is egos are getting in the way, and maybe they are a good guy, maybe they're not, who the hell knows, but they go, oh, fuck, I don't want you to be saying that about every guy, because I'm not like that, and they're so afraid, I guess, what, that somebody's going to single them out and go, you know, I saw a hashtag the other day, it said men are trash, so I'm pretty sure you're trash, man, even if you say you're not, you know, I mean, that's like, it's amazing that you would get too worked up about that, right? Obviously, yeah. It's, you know, if you act a certain way, people are going to either recognize you for what you are or aren't. A hashtag isn't going to change that. Now, I do think that if we do want to utilize, you know, kind of a devil's advocate side, if we do want to utilize social media properly, which is because it has advantages, and you want to maybe also take into account how absolutely ridiculously egotistical and stupid men can be and primitive, then maybe there are different ways to approach it. But then again, women have been spending their whole lives finding different ways to approach certain subjects regarding inequality. And maybe it's just time that, you know, they say, fuck it, we're tired of trying to acquiesce to the patriarchy. So, you know, yeah. But it's amazing because that's dominated, at least for on my Twitter. That has dominated so much of the conversation the last few days. And, you know, and it does tie into really what, you know, began to take effect when Trump took office and the things that were obviously came out about him and still being elected. And it's completely understandable. I hope more men see that. Completely understandable that it must feel like for women that there is literally, no matter what they do, they're not being heard. And so, yeah, I mean, the frustration must be incredible, you know? So, yeah, but otherwise, there was another, we've talked about this before, you know, Instagram, there are some high profile vegans who are no longer vegan. And now an actress by the name of Anne Hathaway, who I'm sure. Have you heard of her? She was Catwoman in a very, in Batman. The reason I bring this up is not because she quit being vegan or because it's Anne Hathaway, you know, whatever you do, you Anne. But it was how she described why she's no longer vegan. So she was at a restaurant with, I want to say, Matt Damon. I hope I get that right. And I had the story, but I'm pretty sure it was Matt Damon. And so it was this one of those restaurants where basically Matt Damon had ordered, when they asked him what his order was, he said, let the chef decide. You know, it's one of those things, right? Where the chef is like, you're going to eat what I give you, you know, kind of thing. And she felt kind of, you know, she was the vegan there and she felt a little bit like, I don't want to be the one who orders something when everybody else is saying whatever the chef, you know, wants to make for me. So she just decided to go with it and have whatever the chef made for her. And there was fish in it. And so she claims that she ate the fish, and immediately something went off in her brain. It reset, and she realized that she had been living this terribly unhealthy life as a vegan, and that the fish reset her mind immediately. And then she started to eat meat again. Now, the reason why that is why I wanted to bring it up is because that's kind of a thing we've heard from several people who have switched back, is that immediately after they ate meat, they felt this switch in their head. And it's kind of funny to me because I do feel that is a mostly mental sort of a mental sort of thing that is not actually entirely true. When you actually look at a body absorbing nutrients, like at the very least, when it absorbs nutrients from a meal, it's about 11 hours before it would actually be absorbed, and feeling the effects could be anywhere from 12 hours to 50 hours. So I'm just not sure how eating fish would change your, or would reset your brain, as Anne put it. But interestingly enough, there is a theory on that by a doctor by the name of Dr. Arnold Arendt. He's an old time doctor. And his theory was an old time doctor. Well, it's a black and white. The black and white picture, Aiden. That's what I'm saying.
He just has a black and white. Is he like from?
Let me see if you can see that.
Is this an older theory?
Yeah, it is.
Meat is not a food? Question mark.
So here we go.
I don't trust that source that you just showed me.
Okay, well, it's
that does not look like a trust. That was a meme. That was a did you know meme.
Yeah, but you can go to Dr. Arnold. I just have it here on this picture. You can go look up Dr. Arnold Arendt, Ehret. So his theory, by the way, I'm not saying that I agree with his theory. I'm just saying that, you know, the immediate reaction, right? So his theory on that is that that meat is only a stimulant which decays and ferments in the stomach. The process of decay, however, does not begin in the stomach. It sets in right after the slaughtering of the animal. Meat acts as stimulants through the very poisons due to decay, which lead to the mistaken notion that it is a strengthening food. Which is why the immediate supposedly stimulant feeling. That's Dr. Arnold Arendt's theory on it. Now, I'm not sure exactly how accredited Dr. Arnold Arendt is, but that was his theory.
It says on his Wikipedia page, it says that none of Arendt's claims are recognized as valid by experts in the scientific, medical, and nutritional fields to the present day. They largely contradict well-understood biology and chemistry and are unsupported by evidence.
Right.
I mean, I don't want to eat meat and sex to the next person, but like...
Right, but why I bring Dr. Arnold into this, though, is because of the fact that Anne Hathaway had the feeling, and a lot of these vegans have, that they have this immediate reset, and there's definitely no scientific evidence to support that you would have that feeling after eating anything, because vegetables, actually you would absorb nutrients from vegetables much quicker than you would actually from meat anyways.
Faster. I don't know if it said like immediately after, like she like in first she swallowed the fish.
She said it reset. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if she felt like the next day,
no,
or later that night.
Well, I want to.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think that it's probably psychological to an extent. Like,
that's what I
like. If you're like constant, if you're constantly like thinking about like your diet and like trying to be like a good vegan, and like as you're putting a lot of mental energy into that, then like giving it up in a moment can probably feel like very energizing and spontaneous. Like, oh my God, yeah.
Right? But,
that's like nutritional.
Yeah, she's unable to turn down a piece of fresh seafood prepared by an award-winning chef. Hathaway continues, so I had a piece of salmon and my brain felt like a computer rebooting. So I guess she did not say the timetable for that. But it did make it sound like, and that's how a few people...
It does sound like it.
There have been a few people, I guess, and the reason why I kind of took it that way is because there have been a few other vegans who are not vegans, who have claimed that they also had lost their libido as vegans, and that immediately after eating meat, they felt that immediate charge of libido after they ate meat. And so this kind of tends to be a trend we're seeing regarding that.
Yeah. I mean, it also says that Anne Hathaway initially went vegan to lose weight and for like health reasons. And as like we've talked about before, like people who go vegan for health reasons, especially if you're trying to lose weight and you might be restricting your diet in other ways to lose weight. I mean, like, there's like a big difference.
Well, yeah, I mean, how many of these people who have actually decided that it was no longer good for them and that they were unhealthy? A lot. There seems to be. I'm not going to say all of them because I don't know all of them. But the common bond through a lot of them is that they also did water detoxes and stuff like that, where they were, you know, completely depleting their body of nutrients and then reintroducing it. You know, detoxes. I don't know. I'm not a nutritionist, but I just hate the idea of anything, you know, too much more severe than intermittent fasting, right? Yeah. And, you know, and a lot of people will say that, look, no wonder you felt like shit. You continually were on these detox diets that, and that's not even Anne Hathaway who we're talking about. These are people who are Instagram influencers, you know, who made a point of keeping followers going by saying, hey, and guess what I'm doing this month? It's a, you know, it's a whatever detox. And, I don't know. I mean, you and I have talked about this several times about, you know, our version of veganism, but I mean, we've both, you know, had certain types of foods that, you know, substitutes or whatever, but we've never really ever, you know, gone crazy with, you know, like we've talked about the people who, you know, only eat this type of healthy food or only have fruit bowls and blah, blah, blah. Like we eat real food, you know, as well. And so, yeah, I think, yeah, that's a good point that you brought up, that she said she did do it for both health and losing weight. That's not a good way to start off being a vegan, is to, because sure as hell didn't help me lose weight. So like we talked about, Oreos are vegan, everybody. Mm-hmm. And they have really, really good vegan desserts out there that if I have my way, I would eat all the time. And if I ate all the time, yeah, it would not be good. So. So what is the, do you want me to go first or do you want to go first? What's the best thing you saw on the internet or anywhere this week, Aiden?
I was thinking, I actually had a thought. You can go first, because I had a thought earlier of what it would be, and then I forgot it.
So this is really, really great. And it's not necessarily connected to environmentalism, politics, or anything, but it's a new movie coming out, and it's called The Velocipastor. Now, there's not an official release for it yet, but it's about a pastor, a priest, who he, like a werewolf, turns into a velociraptor.
Okay.
And he has some rage problems as a priest. And now there's a lot of problems with this, because one, they call it the Velocipastor, yet he seems to be a priest. There's somebody doing a confessional in the trailer for it.
Okay.
And the person doing the confessional says that they've sold drugs, they've done drugs, and suddenly, boom, Velocipastor kicks in, and you see him attacking, or from the his side of the confessional thing, and he starts attacking the guy. And then he's like, you see Velocipastor, who is a priest, not supposed to be obviously having sex with anyone, but yet he's in bed with this girl, and then she tells him that he turned into a dinosaur overnight. He's like, what? She's like, yeah, it was great. You started killing people. And he's like, no, I can't do that. And then she starts to tell him, no, you have to do this. This is great. It's amazing. It's great for your rage. And so he starts to like turn into Velocipastor more frequently. And he's like, you know, going after people. And the budget is not high on this. Like there's one point where it looks like a puppet of sorts. Anyways, I can't wait to see what this turns into. There's no official release date yet, but everybody look it up, Velocipastor. It's probably going to be the best movie that you all have ever seen.
Okay.
Are you okay, Aiden? Was that too much for you?
I'm fine.
Also, I do want to point out the Velocipastor does not have feathers, and it was a little bit larger than a turkey. Velociraptors back in the day actually did have feathers and were about the size of a turkey. So it's not accurate, but still looks amazing. Yeah. So how about you? Are you still thinking about yours?
I thought about it, but I just remembered I don't remember what the name of the okay, it was a subreddit that I found that was really wild.
Is it as wild as a priest turning into a dinosaur?
Okay, I don't know. It's okay. So basically, I can't find the subreddit. I could look for it and see if I can email it to you later, so it can be in the show notes. But I found this subreddit that takes porn, like either videos or still images of porn, and runs it through the Google Deep Mind, like, dream thing. I don't know if you guys know what the Google Deep Mind
thing. I don't. Now I want to know what this is.
Oh, Google Deep Mind. It's like an AI that, like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just fucking cray.
That's a good way to describe it.
It creates these like surreal dreamlike images.
Okay.
And so they fed porn into that, or maybe is it deep? Okay, let's see. Maybe it's not called Deep Mind. That might be another AI. Not safe for work. AI. Shit. Wait. Actually, I think that I followed it on my second account.
Okay. It's okay. We can always, you know, edit out the blank space for time.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Then I'll just relax and
go for
search
it.
This up. Okay. Okay, it's called Deep Dream. Okay, go to reddit.com. Okay, and this is pornographic, guys. I cannot stress this enough. This is porn. Do not, like, look it up if you are not comfortable looking at porn. And also, right. If you're not comfortable looking at, like, surreal, trippy shit.
Okay. But Deep Dream itself, though, is not porn.
Deep Dream itself is not porn. It's just an AI. It's just this, like, weird neural network. But just look at this, and then just scroll down and check some of this out. It's
so because right now it's like the people have made like animations with Deep Dream. They've got some of this stuff is trippy as hell.
Yes.
Oh, here's one with Tom Cruise and Taylor Swift.
What?
Yeah, there's like a. Like in the Deep Dream subreddit, it's got Tom Cruise and Taylor Swift, and it says an automatic drawing program. And then you've got a lot of the stuff is very pretty.
Yeah, a lot of it is very pretty. And if you don't want to look up the porn, you can just Google Deep Dream and just look at some of the images of in Deep Dream.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense.
Okay.
It trips me out.
Is there something that happened when they put the porn into it, or is it just the general just viewing, people viewing it that makes it the best thing you've seen on the internet this week?
It's just the effect. I think that Deep Dream in general is just is just very fascinating to me, and kind of about this in a way. I just think that it's super interesting, and I think that like making it porn, like, who the fuck thought of that? Like, make a whole subreddit dedicated to putting pornographic images and videos through this like weird AI program. I don't know. That's just kind of delightful.
I think that's probably something. I mean, obviously they thought about putting Tom Cruise and Taylor Swift into it together. So yeah, that's. Well, there you go. So, subreddit for Deep Dream. You can look that up on Google as well. And if you do want to look up the specific one that Aiden is talking about, make sure that you're not at work or that your work is okay with that.
And be over the age of 18.
Be over the age of 18, yeah. So I don't know where this country is going in the next week. I'm sure we'll still be here in a week. Never know, I suppose. Everybody, thanks for listening once again.
Wait, before we go, can I just read some of,
go for it.
What, how do you pronounce his name? Arrett? Arrett's other?
Yes. Dr. Andrew Arrett, that I've now been shamed about knowing about him.
Okay. So Arrett held a number of non-scientific beliefs, including white blood cells are decayed mucus in the blood that
makes total
disease.
Sense.
Mental illness is the result of gas pressure on the brain from mucus decay. Fasting can cure insanity. Consuming rice causes leprosy. Dandruff is dried mucus. A mucus-free body never sweats. Nocturnal emissions expel mucus, but cease on a mucusless diet. This guy's very fascinated with mucus.
Yeah, what's the mucus thing?
Gonorrhea is caused by eating mucus foods. I feel like this was okay. It says He was a German naturopath and alternative healing educator, best known for developing the mucusless diet healing system. It's like his whole thing. I've got to email my favorite, not my favorite podcast, but one of my favorite podcasts, Sawbones. It talks about like the misguided medical history, where the ways people fucked up medicine throughout history. So I'm going to suggest this as a topic.
I think that's, yeah. So what I, but yeah, I want to point out Dr. Andrew Arrett, although fascinating, I was, I found his thoughts unique based on what the vegan community had been talking about with that initial stimuli from eating meat. I do not support Dr. Andrew Arrett's thoughts on mucus, just so everybody is.
Yeah, sure.
Or anything.
He's just a very reliable source.
Yeah, I don't see him as a reliable source. I found his thoughts interesting on the stimulation from eating decayed meat, or meat being in its decaying form. But yeah, Dr. Andrew Arrett, though, everybody should go probably look at his Wikipedia. And, you know, I'm sure you'll have some people, you know, we've had the paleo, right? And those diets. I'm sure now maybe people will start to bring back in Dr. Andrew Arrett's diet of the non-mucus diet. Does that like, how does that, what does that entail? Is it just, is it a lot of plants?
Let me look.
Yeah.
It doesn't include, let me see. Doesn't say, yeah. He can, having denounced the nitrogenous albumin metabolic theory, blah, 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 concurred with his belief that grape sugar, simple sugars and fruits and vegetables, was the optimal fuel source. Okay.
He liked wine then.
Maybe.
That's what it was. Yeah, it was like an all wine diet.
Apparently cultists earnestly believed that women who have adhered to the diet program of Professor is in air quotes or quotation marks there, Professor Arnold Arrett, could expect immaculate conception.
Was I calling him Andrew? I'm sorry, Dr. Arnold Arrett.
Yeah, it's all good.
I'm sorry, my bad.
Oh yeah, his mucusless diet was listed by, it's a mucusless fruitarian diet. Oh,
okay.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah, so.
There you go, Dr. Arnold Arrett, everybody. By the way, people should go listen to your show, Dibs, Welcome to the Family. That is on everywhere that podcasts can be listed, or most everywhere. Podcast.
Yeah, and I just released a new episode today, and it is cray. So if you want to listen to something cray.
I think I just got the donor sibling registry featuring Wendy Kramer is available. I just got that on my phone. So there you go. And you can go listen to it on Podcoin as well, right? You're on Podcoin, so people can...
Yes, and I'm actually going to go claim it. I've been waiting for like the right episode to claim the show on Podcoin, which basically means that it'll be promoted as like... one of the bonus podcasts, and so I wanted to wait until like I had like an episode that I feel like was like really like attention grabbing,
right?
So yeah,
I feel you there. Yeah, because my other podcast Lemonade Magazine Podcast, music interviews and some new songs being played each week, it is a bonus podcast right now on Podcoin. Everybody can check that out if you need a reprieve from the Mueller report and Donald Trump and just want to listen to some soothing sounds. So you can go check out Lemonade Magazine Podcast. Links for both of those podcasts will be in the description below. Definitely check those out. If you want to go on Podcoin and listen to our podcast as well, like we mentioned, you can earn coins on Podcoin, and that's pretty dope because you're actually getting rewarded for listening to good stuff. So go ahead and check us out. We might claim ours as a bonus podcast here soon as well. Mm-hmm. But until then, you'll just make the normal minimum wage on Podcoin.
Yeah.
Thank you everybody once again for listening. Thank you, Aiden, for joining me as always. And until next time, stay dope, everybody.